Well, this is amazing. Was anyone here last week? Wasn't that incredible? But you know on Christmas, where it's like Christmas Day, and you get together, and the grandparents, and the uncles, and the aunts, and the cousins are all there, and it's like this big deal, and you got the special food, and it's super exciting, and then like maybe 2 days later, the family's gone, and you're like, oh, it's just us. That's today, because it's us. And it was great to have people coming by, and I'm sure we've got visitors, and if you are visiting here today, it is so good to have you here. But this is just, this is us. You know, this is after Christmas. This is who we're going to be. This is the family. And we're just going to get to hang out for the next long time. It's super exciting. So we're in this very unique season here at Aldergrove. Kevin mentioned last week that we're at the start. My name's John, by the way. I'm one of the pastors here. And Kevin mentioned that we're at the starting line, that there was so much work and all of this driving of a church plant to last week, and it wasn't the end, but it's kind of like graduation at school. That when you graduate school, that's not the last step. It's the last step before your first step. It's like, okay, now we go out. Now we do what we're hoping to do, what we're planning to do, and we're at the beginning. We're at the starting line. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at what does it mean to be Aldergrove? When you come, what can you expect, and what is expected of you? And that's what we're going to look at. So would you join me as we pray and look into God's Word? So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we know you are here, but we ask you would make us aware of your presence. That you would soften our hearts and open our ears, that we would hear what you are saying. That you would give us the faith in you to respond as you lead, and that you would shape us into people that look more like you than we do right now. We pray this in your name. Amen. Has anyone ever been to one of those fancy parties where people just walk around with food on trays? Do you know what I'm talking? Like, if you haven't been, but you've like seen it on TV or movies? So, you know, you get a whole bunch of people attending, and then there's a few people dressed very nicely, and they walk around, and they've got the food on the trays, and I looked it up. That is called butlered hors d'oeuvres. That's like the fanciest sounding kind of thing, butlered hors d'oeuvres. And I've only been to, like, two of these meals, and I think the idea could be solid. Like, you could make it work, but unfortunately, I found it doesn't always work. Because for me, I'm wired that if it's mealtime, I want to be full at the end of this meal. It's the cheeseburger principle. If I've had a meal and I want a cheeseburger on my way home, that meal was bad because I'm still hungry. And so you go to these butlered hors d'oeuvre events, if you were there, or you see it on TV, and people are walking around with these little bits. And my first thought is, are they going to be able to feed me? And the answer is, I don't know. And so I actually learned, I've only been to, I think, two of these. The one, we made a connection with one of the servers. And we're like, hey, what's your name? And he's like, I don't know, Carl. And we're like, Carl, great to meet you. Come here first. And so Carl would come to us first. He would fill up his tray. He would come to us, and we would eat. And then he would walk around, and then he'd go fill up his tray, and he would come to us first. So Carl was phenomenal. Now, I don't know if anyone else appreciated that at that meal, but that was the one time we came away from a butlered hors d'oeuvres event full. The other time, there were so many people there, and you couldn't even see the trays. It's like you had to hunt, and if you found someone with a tray, chances are it was so picked over, there's like two or three things on there, and you're like, there's no way this is feeding anyone. And we came away frustrated and went home and ate because that meal was bad. And we're at the starting line of this church. And could you imagine if that's how we approached church? That we get a load of people showing up, attending. And there's a few who are walking around with these trays and they're serving to the best that they can, but you show up and you're like, I don't know if this is going to fill me up. And so we have the many consumers and the few servers, and maybe you can make a connection with one of the servers and you come away full. But by and large, if you want to help, you don't know how to help, and you might leave frustrated and hungry. And I think that's a terrible picture for a church. Now, I have to be honest, I suspect that's exactly what some of you are here for. You're like, no, that sounds great. Like, I just want to sit here and people do things, and maybe I'll just take a little nibble of this and I'll take part of that, and that's all I want. Like, just leave me alone and you do your thing. And unfortunately, that's not an option. See, I think a butler hors d'oeuvre is a terrible picture for us as a church. What I think is a much better picture is a potluck. We're going to have potlucks. Like, literally and metaphorically, we're going to have potlucks. I actually had a friend who didn't like the phrase potluck. He believed in God's providence, and so when we had them, he made us call them pot providence parties. Because God has ordained what each person will bring to this meal. And we're like, that's a little bit overboard. But in a potluck, what happens is you are expected to bring something. If you're going to come to this, you bring something. And maybe you are late, so you pick up a dozen buns or like 2 liters of pop. But you bring something. And everybody brings something. So there's more than enough food because we have as much food as there are people. And you don't have to search for it because it's all in a big pile in the middle. And so everybody brings food. Everybody eats. And we all go away satisfied. See, I think that's a good picture of church. Not butler hors d'oeuvres, but a potluck. And the Bible says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And then Peter gives not an exhaustive list, he gives examples. He says, for example, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength provided, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So if this is the word of the Lord, and this is the word of the Lord, butlered hors d'oeuvres are not an option. Each of you, each of us, should bring the gift that we've received and use it to serve others. So take a little look around here. These are the people bringing the dishes to this potluck. Sitting out isn't an option. Each of you should bring whatever gift you have received, and in by doing, serve others. Now, we don't use the word steward a lot, but a steward means someone who takes care of something. They're responsible for something that doesn't belong to them. And so what we have is God has given us a gift, and this gift doesn't belong to me, but I take care of it. And by taking care of it and by using it, I somehow give grace to you. And when you use the gift that God has given you, and it doesn't belong to you, but you take care of it, when you use it, you give grace to me. And what we have is this potluck of grace, that everybody brings something, everybody eats, and we all go away full. It's kind of like a parent dropping their kid off at a party. And the parent hands the kid a dozen cupcakes. And the kid gets out of the car. And the parent says to the kid, these are for sharing. They're not all for you. And the kid walks into the potluck and they have received the cupcakes. They didn't make the cupcakes. And this dozen cupcakes is not all for them. It's for them to step into the party and say, these were given to me. Can I share them with you? And that's the picture I think we want to have of a church here. Everybody bringing cupcakes. Everybody has received a gift. We want to share it. So what does it mean? How do we unpack it? How do we make that happen? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, I imagine some people have already checked out. And maybe it's because you just don't like potlucks. And that's okay. You don't have to like potlucks. It's a metaphor. But some people are listening and you think, okay, everybody's received a gift, and that sounds great for that person and for that person, and I could see how they would have something to share, but I don't. And maybe it's because of an age or stage. And you think, I'm too old or my kids are too young. You think, I don't have enough experience. I don't have the right education. I tried it once and it went badly. I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. And for one reason or another, you can sit here and you think, okay, it's great for you to say that everyone has a gift, but I'm not in a place in my life right now where I feel like that applies to me. Have you ever felt like that? Do you feel like that right now? You look around and you're like, there's no way that I've got something to give this group of people. And see, when we feel like that, when we look at that, what we're doing is we're just looking at ourselves, but we have to remember that the gift doesn't come from me. When I stand and speak, I don't speak as someone who has prepared and practiced, even though I have. I have to stand here and speak as though God Himself were speaking. And so we don't look and say, what am I good at? What do I have? What are the things that I and myself can offer? We say, what has God given me? So we're not called to bake the cupcakes. We're called to receive them and give them out. And so it's not your age. It's not your stage. It's not your income or anything else. God has given you the gift. Each one. And so you have the gift not because of who you are, but because of who God is. And He's given it to you. And so when we look just at ourselves, we miss the point. God has given us a gift, and that gift is for sharing. And Paul says this differently in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, now about gifts of the Spirit, Alder Grove Church, I don't want you to be uninformed. So let me fill you in. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There's different kinds of service, as many kinds as people here perhaps, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And do you hear that Trinity picture there? That the Spirit distributes them, that Lord Jesus gives them out, that God the Father is at work, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are at work in giving us our gifts. And so it doesn't rest on me and who I am and what I've done. It rests on what God is doing in me. Now, you might have had a season, and you might be in a season where you feel like you have less to give. And that's okay. There are times and there are seasons, and sometimes this works and that doesn't work, but fundamentally, it isn't you. It's God at work in you and through you. And when you use that gift, you're bringing the very grace of God into the world. I think a little bit this is what happens when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That somehow by God working through me, there's more grace at work in you. And vice versa. Now, who's really excited about this, that God is at work in you and His grace pours into you and flows out to other people? Who's really excited by that? Yeah. Who's like, that's weird? And I don't know what that looks like. Now, I want to break it down a little bit further. What does that look like? What does it actually look like? One of these key verses that we talk about a lot is Matthew 4:19. And it says that Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and He sees two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake. That's how they fished, is they took the net and they threw it, and whatever net or whatever fish the net landed over, they would pull that in. And Jesus says to them, come and follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Have you heard this verse before? Kind of a key thing for how do we understand our relationship with Jesus, is walking with Him, being disciples, being apprentices of Jesus. Now, is Jesus being literal here? Is He saying, okay, you've learned how to drop this net on fish. Now, over there's a family on vacation. And what I want you to do, I want you to throw that net over the kids and fish for people. And very much so, no. It's not literal. Jesus isn't saying you're going to drop your net on people. But what He is saying, and this is why we have to understand that word, send you out, it actually isn't just come over here, I send you over there, but you have been doing this, and I'm going to prepare you for doing that. This and that aren't the same, so come with me. I will shape you, I will transform you, I will help you have what you need to do in order for that to happen. And so Jesus is saying to these fishermen, come over here, I will transform you, and then you'll fish for people. Now, who loves the idea of fishing for Jesus? You're like, eternity fishing? Love it. Like, this just rocks your boat. It's a pun. And I've fished like twice. I'm okay with fishing, but that idea doesn't really hook me. And so we think, okay, well, Jesus is calling them to fish, but I don't really like fishing. And maybe you look up here and you're like, okay, Mike and Michael are singing, but I'm not really good at singing. And there's people out there serving coffee, and I don't really like coffee. So why do I have to do this? I don't like it. And we don't say, deal with it. We say, who was Jesus talking to? Jesus was talking to people fishing. He says, hey, you fishers of fish, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take your fishing ideas, your fishing skills, your fishing background, and I'm going to transform that for you to fish for people. He didn't tell the tax collector you're going to fish. He didn't tell the baker you're going to fish. I think if he was calling a baker, he would say, you used to raise dough, and now you'll raise disciples. If he was talking to the contractor, I think he would say, you used to build homes, and now you'll build the kingdom. See, I think part of what Jesus is saying is you have to walk with me and I will transform you, but the other part is I will take who you were and turn you into who you were always meant to be. That we aren't called to be someone else, that we aren't called to do something else, but Jesus says, I see you, and I've got something for you to do that only you can do. And maybe you don't like fishing, that's okay. But in the same way that a tree is the fullest version of a seed, Jesus calls us to be the kingdom fuller version of ourselves. And right now we can look and maybe all we see is seed. And Jesus is like, I see tree. I see what I've created. I see what I've put inside of you. And so come follow me and become the kingdom version of yourself. I think that's at that heart of it. That part of us using our spiritual gifts is being the kingdom version of ourselves. And so just think with me, don't just listen at me, but think with me for a moment. I'm going to ask you a question, think of the answer. What are you good at? What do you have lots of? Time, energy, money, connections? Resources, ideas? Where have you felt you've been able to help other people? What have other people appreciated about you? See, I think all of those are spiritual gifts. That things that God has given you, that when you realize the kingdom version of yourself, that all of those are gifts. So just on a very natural level, your spiritual gifts are who God has created you to be. So be that. But that's not all of it. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says there's lots of gifts at work. And the gifts examples he gives are discernment, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, faith, wisdom, knowledge, healing, and miracles. He's not saying you've got a lake house and a degree in accounting and you're really good at dancing. See, those are natural things, and those can all be gifts. He says, the gifts of the Spirit are discernment, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, faith, wisdom, knowledge, healing, and miracles. And again, I think those are examples, not an exhaustive list. But that sounds weird. Like, I'm actually more comfortable using my first aid for Jesus. But what if there's a moment where Jesus says, hang on to your first aid and pull out the miracle? And you're like, actually, I would prefer to use my administrative planning gifts. And Jesus says, great gift, put it on hold. I want you to step out in faith. And that's weird. That's scary. But see, part of our spiritual gifts is the natural, who I've always been called to be. And part of it is God at work in me, something that looks like God through me. And I think that's why we're here. Like, don't we on some level feel like this community should look like God and not just us? Aren't you hungry for that a little bit? See, I want this community to look like us, but I want it to look like God in us. And so when Paul says that there are manifestations of the Spirit that are given to each one, and all of these are given for the common good, it's not just the natural, it's the supernatural. And we want to see that at work too. Now, this only happens when the Holy Spirit's at work in us, but it does happen when the Holy Spirit's at work in us. And so we've been given something unique, a dozen cupcakes just for you. God at work in you, helping you become the kingdom version of yourself, but also the Spirit at work through you, that it's not just us, but it's God at work. And this is significant. Now we can hear that significance, and we can feel the weight of it, that somehow there's a corner of the kingdom that God has given only to me. That there's a part of the kingdom he's given only to you. And not the person beside you or in front of you, but to you actually. There's part of it that solely rests on you. And if you don't bring it, we don't have it. We don't get that particular part of grace that God has given you to share with us if you don't bring it. And we can hear that and we're like, wow, that's a lot of weight. That's a lot of pressure. Like, how am I supposed to live up to that? And sometimes we can go one of two ways, and some people shut down and say, well, I don't want to get it wrong. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do, and last time I did it, it didn't go that well, and I'm actually kind of feeling a little burned out, so it's probably just safer if I stay on the side of nothing. So I'm not going to do anything. And then there are other people who feel like, well, if the weight of God's glory rests on me, well, I should probably give up sleeping. I need to sign up for everything. Because if this is so important, I have to make sure it happens. And so we get those who do everything. And we get those who do nothing. And what we're actually called to do is something. Not nothing, and not everything, just something. There's a unique element to all of us, but I was reading this in a book. Push back on me if you want. We are not called to love the world. God loves the world. God loved the world so much, in fact, that he sent his son. And he died and he rose again. And when we believe that this is true, we are transformed and forgiven. And this is the heart of the gospel. So God so loves the world, who do we love? We love each other. We love our neighbor. We love our enemy. See, I'm not called to love the world. God loves the world, but God has given me a particular part of the world to love. I love my neighbor. I love my enemy. I love each other. We love each other. See, it's not everything. It's not nothing. It's something that God has given us a piece, and we are limited in what we can do. I can't sing. It is a blessing for you that I came up when I did. If I came up on this stage any earlier, you would recognize that God has not given me that gift. I can speak. I'm comfortable up here, which means if you want music, you need more than me. And if we want more than speaking, you need more than me. If we want coffee, if we want kids ministry, if we want ushers, if we want youth, if we want all of those things happening, you need more than me. We need more than you. So I'm limited and you're limited, so we need each other. And this church has been called to make a difference in Aldergrove and North Otter, and we want to see that happen. But what about White Rock and Surrey and Vancouver and Edmonton? Are we going to make a difference there? What about Alberta and Ottawa and Albania? We're going to make a difference there? And see, the thing is I'm limited, so we need each other. And this church is limited. There is a church in the whole wide world, and we're just a part of it. We are one part of the global church of Christ, and how beautiful is that? That I don't have to do it all. God has given me part, and God calls someone else to do their part, and when we both do our part, the kingdom comes on earth. So some are more than nothing, and some are less than everything. Just do something. And if you don't know what that looks like, For some, I feel like you might have been burned. Like maybe in your previous context, you just felt like you were ground down until you had absolutely nothing left. And that's a wonderful thing we want to pray with you about, to trust that God can bring restoring and healing, that he can lead us by still waters and in pastures that are green. And so we have prayer at the front on either side. That's available at the end of the service. We want to pray with you. But have a conversation with God. Just bring that hurt and that brokenness to him and say, God, this is where I'm at. And maybe you don't know what your gifts are. So three questions you can ask is, number one, just reflect on your life. What do you have lots of? What are you good at? What do you enjoy? What need can you meet? Ask someone else and say, hey, what do you see in me? Now, that's a hard question to answer on the spot, so give them some time. Don't ask a stranger. That's not nice. Ask someone you know and give them time to say, hey, listen, I'm trying to figure out my spiritual gifts. Could you help me with that? And then give them some time to think it through, because it's not always just right on the spot. And finally, just ask God. Just say, what's my gift? What have you given me? What is my grace that you've given me for the world? Don't overthink it. Just do something. See, we're at this beautiful thing where nobody's living in anybody's shadow right now. Actually, that's not true. I am currently living in Kevin's shadow because he preached last week, and so now it's like, he's not as good as last week's guy. But by and large, nobody's done anything for more than like a couple weeks here. So we have no legends. You're the legends, which means we don't have to say, we have to live up to some picture of someone or other. So if you don't think you'll be good at something at the beginning, great. Just do it, and you're the best we've ever had. Because anything worth doing is worth starting poorly. Don't finish poorly, but start it poorly. Start badly and get better, or decide it's not for you, but start somewhere. Don't just get paralyzed by this feeling and this fear of failure, because we have to have grace for each other. Potlucks look bad. Butlered hors d'oeuvre events are beautiful. They're clean, they're neat, they're fancy, but if we want to be a potluck church, we're going to have mixed different dishes. We're going to have two people bringing the same thing. Someone's bringing a bucket of KFC. And you're like, this is weird, but it's wonderful. So we have grace. We don't come to a potluck and expect the best meal of our lives. But we expect to have good time with people. We expect to come away full. So we can't be perfect. It's dangerous to try. I think we should aim for healthy. That we aren't a perfect church. I think we should be a healthy church. Is that an okay goal? Because if it's perfect, I'm going to have to step down. And I'm going to have to ask all of us to leave. But let's be healthy, not perfect. Have grace for each other. It's hard to do. It's hard to do something if you haven't done it a lot. It's hard to do something if maybe you're not good at it or you make a mistake. Like, what happens if it goes wrong? And when it does, we have grace. We ask for grace for God. We ask for grace from each other, and we're willing to extend it ourselves. Now, I suspect for some, you're all on board with using your gifts. You're like, I'm there. Like, if lawns need raking, I'll rake the lawns. Someone's laundry needs folding, I'll fold the laundry. But let me just kind of spin it around a little bit. Would you let your lawn be raked? If you had a tough week, would you actually ask someone to come in and fold your laundry? All your laundry. See, oftentimes we're willing to do it for others, but we're unwilling to let others do the very same thing for us. And it's subtle and it's small, but what it communicates is you need me, and I don't need you. See, we're often willing to give something very different than we're willing to receive. We come to the potluck, and we only eat our own food. We're not willing to partake of what other people have. And if this whole using our gifts thing is going to work, we're going to have to be vulnerable enough with each other to let you into my life and to let me into yours. Otherwise, we keep it surface level. When we come with pride and say, I'm willing to serve, I'm willing to give, I need nothing. I don't need you, but you need me. And that's a dangerous dynamic that pushes us back into the perfection idea. And none of us is perfect. But let's be healthy. And at some point or another, we will all need each other. So are we willing not only to use our gifts, but to let others use theirs? This sounds dumb, but Canadians are sometimes bad at taking the last of something. You're only ever allowed to take half of the last. And so if there's like a half, or if there's a piece of cake left, you cut that piece of cake in half and you take one half and leave one half. And then there's a half a piece of cake left, so you cut that half in half and you take that and leave the other. But if someone were to offer you and say, would you like the last piece of cake? Are we willing to say, okay? And some people, yeah, absolutely. But for some of us, no, Canadians stand off, two people standing at a door after you, no, after you. Someone's got to go first. So are we willing to let other people in the same way that we are willing to serve others as well? So some really practical things. Actually, a story. I had a phone call this week from a friend named Rob. He's a good friend. I like Rob. And I was actually having a really good morning. And Rob called. And Rob and I talked, and we talked through all kinds of stuff. And at the end, we hung up, and Rob was like, or actually, first he was like, that was a really good conversation. Thanks, John. I'm like, thanks, Rob. And he hung up, and I hung up. And I'm like, I wasn't feeling bad before. But I feel better now. And so I somehow gave grace to Rob, and Rob somehow gave grace to me, and it's this weird thing that in the church, two hungry people can feed each other. Isn't that weird? Like, who signs their own birthday card? Like, if you signed your own birthday card and gave it to yourself, like Mr. Bean Christmas style, you know, where he signs his Christmas cards, drops it through the slot, comes in, he's like, oh, and it's great, and he hangs it up. If you sign your own birthday card, it doesn't mean much, but what happens if you sign someone else's and they sign yours and you switch? Why does that mean anything? It's the same amount of work. But there's this weird thing we have in the church where hungry people feed each other. It's this potluck of grace that we can bring, and you are blessed and I am blessed. And God has given us a dozen cupcakes each. So I've got three really concrete application points here. We're just going to nail it right down. Just one thing that I've started to think about is that if I'm going to think about, have I applied a sermon? It's, does it cost me calories? Does it cost me dollars? Or does it cost me minutes? And if the answer is no, my life probably hasn't changed. So what we want to do is we want to have this hit our calories, our dollars, and our minutes. So here's the application. First, we have a ministry fair next week. Every ministry at this church needs somebody. Every single one. We have an excellent, very strong, wonderful skeleton crew right now. We have enough people to make it probably through October in health. After October, we're going to start to suffer unless we start to use our gifts as a church. So next week, after the service, pray this week and say, God, what gifts have you given me? What are my passions? What am I interested in? Maybe is there something I'm not good at that you're calling me to step out in? And next week, consider whether you want to sign up for a ministry here. We need everybody for everything. But the trouble with this building, and isn't this building beautiful and amazing and such a huge blessing? The trouble with a building like this is we look at the building and we think, this is where the ministry happens. And this is the only place that it happens. It's like one of my favorite jokes. The guy goes to the dentist and he gets the checkup and, you know, they do the hygienist thing. And the dentist comes in and he looks at the guy and he's like, oh, when was the last time you flossed? The guy says to the dentist, dude, you were there. And if the only time we floss is when we go to the dentist, a dentist is going to be like, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And if the only time we use our gifts is when we step into this building, if someone's like, hey, when did you last use your spiritual gifts? And you're like, dude, you were there. It was last week. This is where we do it. But this is not where we do it. I'm going to tip my hand a little bit. We don't actually need everyone to sign up at the ministry fair next week. It doesn't actually take this many people to pull off a service. A service is an important part of what we do, but it's not everything. And so if you think that you have a gift and you're like, I just don't see myself plugging in on Sunday morning, and I've talked to so many people, they want to use their gift, and on Sunday morning they just don't have a place, so they feel like they have no place in the church. But the church is not the building, it's not the service, it's not the time, the church is the people. And so if you want to use your small gifts, the second place you can do it is sign up for life groups. So starting November 6th and 13th, we've got like these lunches, and you sit down with lunches, and you have conversations, and meet people, and coming out of that, you have a life group, and everything that happens on Sunday morning happens in a life group, and you can use your gifts there. So sign up at the ministry fair, but don't see it as just the building. Sign up for a life group, and that's another amazing way to use your gifts. But finally, the downside of having so many people here, and I love you all, I'm not asking anyone to leave, but the downside of us having so many people here is we look around and we think, we're good. This is all we need. And our gifts, all of a sudden, it's like we circle around and our gifts all pour into each other. And we do want that, but we don't want to lose sight of the fact that we are called to reach the lost, that we want new people to meet Jesus too. That it's not just in the building and it's not just in a life group, but that it's everywhere else. It's in your context, it's in your home, it's at your work, it's in your families, that we also are using our gifts. So it's not just the ministry fair, and it's not just life groups, but it's in every moment of your life. That you can find yourself in a context and just simply ask the question, does Jesus want to do something right now? And might he want to use me? Because then we will see this grace, this potluck of grace, not just here, but explode into our community as we help people meet Jesus and become more like him. I'm really excited about that. I love you guys. Like, as I was praying this week for this sermon, honestly, it was like something just clicked, and this is us. Christmas is over, and this is us. Like, this is just so beautiful. And I have no idea what your gifts are. But I'm looking forward to finding out, because when we find out what the gifts are, we'll know what God has called us to. I'm going to invite the band back up, and they're going to play a couple of songs in response. Would you join me in prayer? And then we'll close. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have given different kinds of gifts and different kinds of working and different kinds of service. But it's you at work in all of us. So I pray you would release us from the burden of seeing it in ourselves, but to help us see the gift that you've given us, that we've received, and show us how to use it. That this church would be a people that are just a potluck of grace, your grace to each one of us through each one of us. Yeah, that's really exciting. We pray this in your name. Amen.